Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
Hey North Point, I hope that you're having an absolutely awesome week. You know, we're facing a lot of different challenges in life. I'm sure that maybe you have gone through something this week that you weren't expecting. But I want you to know this, that you are not alone. You're a part of a community that loves you and is for you and is cheering for you because we're all on a journey together. As Christ followers, we get up every morning and we choose to follow Jesus one more day, and we choose to stay on mission.
And that mission here at North Point Community Church is creating Christ-centered, culture-changing community. You know, Destiny, we are in our current series right now on our house habits, but the house habits really don't make a lot of sense without the mission.
Absolutely.
You have to have the why.
Important. We have to have the why behind everything that we do, and the mission really fuels everything that we do here at North Point, from feeding people and making sure that families have enough in this time, to taking care of schools, to making sure that we have opportunities to gather both online and in person for kids and for adults. We are on mission together, but it also has to do with what you do Monday through Sunday, single day in your home, in your school, in your businesses. You are doing the hard work of creating Christ-centered, culture-changing community. And these habits are tools that we want to put into your hands that will help you to stay on mission and to live out mission every single day.
You know, and there's not a better year that we've had to talk about these house habits than the year of application.
That's right.
That's what we said here. 2021 is our year of application. And application is just the action of putting something into operation. And that's where these habits come from. Application is it's sustained effort. It's hard work. And that's how you get habits into your life. And so we're going to put in that work. We're going to stick it out with that sustained effort. We're going to make sure that this really is our year of application, that we build the habits that we need to have in our lives so that that mission can be carried out as individuals and corporately. And we've started with our very first house habit.
Yes, and your favorite.
It is
your absolute favorite.
It's my favorite
habit.
That's why we're on week three of of the first house habit right now. And that is we live on. We live on. And that starts just with the idea that we don't quit.
That's right.
We don't give up. We will live on through disappointment. We will live on through adversity. We will live on through the tough days from being offended and being betrayed. We will live on through the darkest moments of our life. We will live on. And why do we live with that mentality? Because we realize, as we talked about last week, that we are living on in eternity and we are living on in legacy.
Absolutely. And if we are going to be living on in eternity and living on in legacy, no matter how we live our lives, we want to live lives that we can be proud of, proud to pass on to the next generation, and proud to carry as we pass over into eternity. And so this week, I'm so excited, but I know you're even more excited than I am to be talking about this next part, which is what are the things that we have to live on daily, Philip?
That's right.
In order to live a life that lives on.
You know, if we're going to live through the frustrations of life, we've got to make sure that we're living on the right foundations in our life.
Absolutely.
Because we're all going to get frustrated. Mm-hmm. We're all going to have difficult moments. But it goes back to the story that we read a few weeks ago that Jesus told, right? He told the story about the storm. He says, when the storm comes, not if the storm is going to come, but when the storm comes, because there is going to be not just a storm, but storms.
Absolutely.
It's the plural. It's coming in our lives. And the thing that will determine whether that storm destroys our house or not is the foundation that we are built on. So we will all experience frustrations in life, but what will allow us to get through that is the foundations that we have in our life. So we have to ask ourselves, what are we really what are we truly building our lives on right now?
Absolutely. You know, it's funny. I've lived in different kinds of houses with you over the last 16 years. Have we really been married 16 years?
16, about to be 17 in
That's
just a few
crazy.
Months.
Well, we've lived in a lot of different places.
Yeah.
And, you know, we lived in one house that wasn't really built on a foundation. It was built on cinder blocks.
Yeah.
It was a great house. But the problem was, is when winter storms came, that lack of a foundation that went all the way to the ground, it caused us some problems. Our pipes would freeze and it would get very, very, very cold. We'd have all kinds of different issues. And it was funny because when we moved into a house that had a foundation that went all the way down, I started to forget what it felt like to endure a winter storm without the right foundation.
Wow.
And you know, sometimes we can go through life just thinking that the way that we respond to the storm, the way that things hit us and crush us is just the way that we are and that there's no other way to live.
Mm.
And what I hope that you get from your time listening to us is that there is another way to live.
Yes.
It's that you can continue to move to a firmer foundation where the storms don't have to affect you the same way. So, Philip, if we're going to build that firm foundation, there's so many different things we could pull out that we need to live on. But today we're going to talk about really two.
That's right.
What are those things?
Well, these are foundations that we have to have because if you're going to be able to deal with the frustrations, you've got to have these foundations. And so when we talk about what are we living on, and it's not just living on in theory, it's living on in practice.
No, that's so good.
It's living on daily,
right.
not just weekly, but really living on these things daily,
that's
right?
So good.
And the first thing that we're going to talk about is that you have to live on the Word of God.
Mm.
You have to live on the Word of God. When we talk about the Word of God, we're talking about the Bible. The Bible is a collection of 66 books. It's broken into two major components. It's the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament is leading up to Jesus, the New Testament being from Jesus onward. And when we look at the Bible, it's so much. I mean, it's so many things. And people say, you know, it's God's love letter to us, right? It's the playbook. It's the instruction manual. It is all of that and so much more. But if we are going to have a life that really lives on in eternity and lives on in legacy, we have to live on the Word of God daily.
Absolutely. And the Word of God does two very important things. And the first is this, is it tells us the truth about God.
Yeah.
It tells us the truth.
That's good.
About God. In John 14:6, it says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me."
Yeah.
I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Jesus is saying, if you want to know God, if you want to know the truth about God, then you have to start with me.
You know, and the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 that Jesus Christ is the cornerstone, that he's the cornerstone. Not only is he the cornerstone of the church, but he also needs to be the cornerstone of our lives. And now cornerstone is not something that we talk about a lot right now. As you were just talking a moment ago, our house built on a foundation, it's built on a foundation of cement, right? It was poured from a truck and it's a foundation of cement. But that's not the way that foundations were in the biblical times. They were foundations of stone. And the cornerstone was the most important stone because it was the first stone.
Wow.
It was the stone that they set down in the corner that determined the direction of the house. It literally set the parameters, the boundaries. This is where the house would be, and this is the direction that the house would go. And when the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the cornerstone, he's not just a stone.
So good, Philip.
He is the cornerstone, meaning that he needs to set the boundaries. Mm. He needs to set the parameters. And he has to set everything in our lives, and that we have to get in alignment with Him. He's not just a stone that we put into our lives where I set the boundaries and I set the parameters and I set the way, and I just want to add Jesus because I like some things that He said, and I want to go to heaven when I die. And so I'm just going to put Jesus in there in the midst of it all. No, no, no. Jesus is the cornerstone. He is that way. He is that truth.
That's
he is
good,
that
huh?
life. And He is the cornerstone that is going to set the alignment of my life. And out of that alignment, we're going to find our assignment. But the only way I'm going to move into everything that God has for me to do is that I'm going to become everything that God wants me to be. But the only way I'm going to do that is when I put Jesus in the place that He needs to be. And that is the cornerstone.
We started this whole series reading Luke 6 and the story in Luke 6 about the wise carpenter and the foolish carpenter. And in the Message version of Luke 6, it tells us this about the Word of God. It says that the words of God are not just mere additions to our life. They're not homeowner improvements. They're foundation words. And I love that because when we try to take Jesus and make Him a window dressing for our existence to underscore the prejudices we already have and the preferences that we already have, we completely miss the point. Because Christianity is about serving others and submitting ourselves to God. Serving others and submitting ourselves to God. Jesus talks about it this way. He says that we are to love others the way that He has loved us. And that's the truth about God. God is not just simply an addition to our life.
That's right.
He's not a Sunday morning God.
Yeah.
He's not just, oh, well, this is the label that I wear because it's acceptable within my culture. No, our God is a foundation God. And when we decide to live our life on God's word, then we learn the truth about God. But we don't just learn the truth about God. We also learn the truth about ourselves.
You know, before we actually get into that, I want to stay right there just for a second on learning the truth about God, because I think sometimes as we talk about Jesus being the cornerstone, and He's not just a stone, as you said, He's not just the home owner improvements,
yes,
right?
Absolutely.
He's not just an addition. I think sometimes we want to put the stone of Jesus in there because we want to say, oh, that's just my spiritual life.
Oh, that's so true.
That's just, well, I'm going to put Jesus, He's going to change my spiritual life. But Jesus doesn't come just for spiritual life. He comes for the total of life.
Absolutely.
Jesus wants to set our attitudes. Jesus wants to set our behaviors and our actions. Jesus wants to set the way in which we conversate with
That's
one
so
another.
Good.
Jesus wants to set all of these things in our lives. So it's not just about Jesus setting, being the cornerstone of my spiritual life. No, He wants to be the cornerstone of everything in my life.
And Philip, I really think that sometimes when we talk about somebody who Jesus is the cornerstone of their whole life, we think about somebody who's super religious, who's
right.
just awkward,
right?
That's
true.
Who just says, you know, drops God's name like He's a celebrity. And uses God as an excuse and some of those things,
right?
And so we can kind of be turned off by that and go, oh, yeah, no, I don't know.
I
believe in God, but it's over here. And then there's the rest of my life. And that's not the way it's supposed to be.
No.
You know, the Jesus of the Bible is so incredibly approachable. I love the fact that sinners were completely comfortable in His presence. And we're not just talking about people who believe differently than Him. We're talking about prostitutes, and we're talking about tax collectors who were basically the renegades of their society.
Right.
They were the people who were the collaborators with the people who were oppressing them. We're talking about people who had very bad reputations, and they would invite Jesus to their parties.
Yeah, that's right.
You don't invite a buzzkill to your party.
No, that's right.
They wanted to be around Jesus.
Yeah, that's right.
He had a way of being completely different than them, but also completely loving and approachable by them. them. And when we really get humble,
yeah,
and we allow Jesus to become the cornerstone of our whole life,
that's right.
It's not that we become this super spiritual weirdo.
No.
It's that we actually get God's heart for ourselves.
That's right.
For our family.
Right.
For our community. For everybody around us. And I think it should make us more approachable.
Right.
It should make us more willing to listen to other people's points of view.
That's right.
And not feel like we need to correct everything that they say. It should make us more willing to be around people who are different than us.
Yeah.
Following Jesus doesn't mean that you totally seclude yourself from the world.
Right.
You know, it means that you understand that you are in the world, but you're not of it.
That's right.
And I think it's so important that we do understand that when we put Jesus as our cornerstone, it goes into every area of our life. You know, there's been times that I have felt God convict me because of the way that I was treating my body, because I wasn't taking care of myself so that I would be strong and be able to do the things that I needed to do in life. Well, is that spiritual? Absolutely it is. Is the way you talk to your spouse spiritual? Absolutely it is.
Yeah.
But more importantly, it's part of my life. And I'm building my life.
Building my life
on Jesus.
Yeah, and when we talk about Jesus really being that cornerstone, when we get in alignment with that, right, we're also getting an alignment with that super of God into our natural, so we can live a supernatural existence, right? We get in alignment with His peace.
Right.
We get in alignment with His joy. We get in alignment with His wisdom in His way. And it's only when we really put Jesus, you know, we can't add Jesus to our already established foundation.
No.
What Christianity is about is God coming in and wrecking our foundation and beginning to build us back up from the ground level with Jesus Christ being the cornerstone, because He is the way.
Absolutely.
It's not my way. It's His way. He is the truth and He is the life. So many times, right, we read in the Bible about this abundant life. John 10:10, right? Jesus says, this is what I came for. I came so that you would have life and you would have it to the full in abundance until it overflows. We read about this unspeakable joy. We read about this peace that passes all understanding. And sometimes in life, we're like, where is this? Mm-hmm. Where is this joy? Where is this peace? Where is this abundant life? But so many times when we look at it, we realize that it's because I don't have Jesus as the cornerstone.
No.
I'm trying to add God into my life instead of letting Him establish my life.
Right.
And when I let God establish my life in the way that I treat my spouse, the way that I talk to my neighbor, the way I work through bitterness and unforgiveness, the way I forgive, the way I live out the commands of God, the way I do that, right? It only happens when I really let God wreck my foundation and I begin to build my life on His foundation with Jesus and His way being that cornerstone. And that is when we get into the Word of God, what we see the truth about God. And then, as you just mentioned a moment ago, but it also teaches us and tells us the truth about ourselves.
That's right.
And there's one scripture that really makes this a connection here in Ephesians chapter 2. And it says, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." And so what we see is that the truth about me is that Philip Dees needs grace.
Mm-hmm.
That Philip Dees could never do enough, work hard enough, or be great enough to deserve eternal life.
Absolutely.
The only way I can have relationship with God and step into eternity is because of God's grace. But as I read the Word of God, it tells me the truth about me and that I am a sinner and I am desperately in need of grace.
I love that. You know, Christians are very diverse across the world. They speak different languages. They wear different clothes. They have different cultures. They exist in different political systems, have different political values, and have different views on economies and all kinds of different things. But the one thing that every Christ follower has in common is the story of grace, is their own personal testimony.
Yes.
that they were personally saved by grace. That's literally what it means to be a Christ follower, is someone who has accepted Christ's sacrifice as their own and is choosing to follow Jesus, the one who paid that price, every single day. See, the Bible tells us our identity, not as someone who deserved all that God has given us, but as someone who was given the free gift of grace and now has a chance to live the abundant life and to one day go and spend eternity with God in heaven. It's such a beautiful story. And if we will live on the word of God, then God will begin to tell us who we are.
Yeah.
And we won't have to look outside of that for labels and for approval to tell us who we are.
Yeah.
See, if we can stay happy and contented and centered in being a servant of God, then no matter what our calling is in a particular season, no matter what our assignment is, no matter what we go through, we can know that our identity is secure, it is safe, and that our story is uniquely ours and yet so incredibly common across the world, of someone who heard the story and made a decision to live a life that was empowered by grace. It's such a beautiful thing, the way that the Bible teaches us who we are.
Yeah, you know, and I think there is nothing that has transformed my life like the Word of God. Reading the Word of God, I remember being a teenager and starting to read my Bible after I had an encounter with God. I surrendered my life to God. And I began to read the Bible, and I was so fascinated. I began to read through Matthew and Mark, Luke and John. I began to read through the Gospels, reading the stories of Jesus, finding out about who God really was. Not who God, who I thought God might be, some God that was ready to strike me down for messing up, or maybe even some ways that I'd heard other people talk about God. But I started reading the Gospels for myself, and I found out about this God who was good. And I read where Jesus said, hey, if you being sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, then how much more your perfect Father in heaven knows how to give good gifts to you. And man, I started realizing that that is who God is. When Jesus said, hey, I want to teach you how to pray, our Father in heaven. Man, I started learning about who God was. And as I was reading the Bible and learning about who God was, it didn't stop there. I started seeing myself. I started seeing, wow, for one, as we said a moment ago, I'm a sinner and I'm in need of grace. But as I kept reading and I got into the book of Acts and I got into Romans and I started reading about who I was, that I am a son of the Most High God, that I am a child of the King, that I am more than a conqueror, and that nothing is going to separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. That is who I am. And I started realizing that I'm not just, oh, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. No, I am a sinner that is saved by grace on a great mission from God, that the Spirit of God is filling me up, that I really am more than a conqueror, that I can overcome, that I've been equipped and empowered by the Holy Spirit to live this life on mission, to carry out the purpose of God on this earth. But where did that come from? The Word of God.
Absolutely.
Reading the Word of God, man, it told me who God was, and it also told me who I am.
Absolutely. And what I love is that we can live on the Word of God every single day.
Yeah.
And it will continue to change us and transform us. I want to encourage you, if you're starting to read the Bible, do not start in Genesis. The way that Bibles are put together, they put the Old Testament or the Hebrew scriptures first, because it kind of makes sense as far as timeline and different things like that. But that is not the place you should start as a follower of Christ. You should start with the Christian scriptures, which is the New Testament.
Yeah.
Start in the first four books that tell the story of Jesus. Read that story over and over and over again. And then go into the actions, the acts of the first church, and then read the different things that they were talking about in terms of theology and philosophy in that first generation. Yeah. It's so fascinating and so interesting. But more than that, it's life-changing.
Yeah.
And you'll begin to read some of the words that Philip was talking about, those transformative words that begin to tell you the truth of who God is and the truth of who you are. Well, you don't just need to.
And we are in a Bible reading plan.
Oh, that's right.
This is the first year in our year of application. We are in a Bible reading plan, and we're reading through the New Testament.
Absolutely.
One chapter a day. And so you can get that at the link right here, ncc.team/Bible. You can get that reading plan. If you come to service on campus at some point, we're handing out bookmarks for everybody to read through. So you can read right through the New Testament with us this year. There is nothing like the Word of God to transform our lives.
And our Bible reading plan takes 3 to 5 minutes a day.
Yeah.
That's incredibly short.
Yeah.
So I would say that's 2 commercial breaks, but nobody knows what those are anymore.
No, nobody watches. There's no commercials on Netflix.
There's no commercials on Netflix.
No. So we're building our lives,
right?
On the foundation of the Word of
Absolutely.
God. Absolutely. But we can't stop there.
No.
Right? We can't stop there. We've got to live on the Word of God. But the second thing that we have to live on is we have to live on the works of faith. Both of these things are vitally important. You don't get to pick and choose here. You have to live on the Word of God, and you have to live on the works of faith. And 2 Timothy chapter 3, it pairs these things together so beautifully when it says this: all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work.
You know, I think one thing that's really important there is what it says the Word of God is meant to do. It's not meant for us to use as a weapon against other people who don't believe like us.
Right.
It's not meant for us to use as a weapon against other believers.
That's right.
That's not the purpose of the Word of God. The purpose of the Word of God is for it to change us.
Yeah.
And I have found that if I will allow the Holy Spirit to change me, and I will pray for those around me, that the Holy Spirit will do so much more in me than I even asked, one.
Yeah, that's right.
But then two, He will do in other people what I never could have done.
That's right.
And so many times we can be so worried about how other people believe and what other people think and what other people say, and we just want to correct them. I've been totally surprised sometimes, just even on social media, that people have time to have the conversations that they're having.
Right.
I'm going, are you living on works of faith? How do you possibly have time to do this if you're trying to do all the good works that God prepared in advance for you to do for Him? We don't have time for silly arguments.
Yeah.
And that's not me who says that. Actually, the Apostle Paul says
that's
that
exactly right.
Several different times. We don't have time for silly arguments. Yeah. That's not what the Bible is for.
Yeah.
What the Bible is for is to show us
where
we are wrong.
Yeah.
So that, and this is the most exciting thing, so that we can then be equipped for every good work, so that we can be equipped to do the good works that God has prepared for us to do.
Well, let's think about how Jesus said it, right? Jesus said, take the log out of your own eye so that you can get the speck out of your neighbor's eye,
right?
It's that we have to let the Holy Spirit do the work in us first, and that is the key of the Word of God.
Yes.
As you just said, the Bible says that the Word of God is like a sword.
Right.
It's not a sword to be used to cut somebody else up.
No.
No, the Word of God is a sword to do what? To cut between our soul and spirit, our bone and marrow. It's to do surgery on us, that we would use the Word of God to dig out those roots of racism and prejudice, that we would the Holy Spirit would do that surgery to pull out that selfishness and that greed and those things in us. It's about us. And so Jesus says, hey, make sure you get the log out of your own eye before you even start to try to help somebody else.
That's
and
right.
So I think that when we look into this, the scripture says that that the scripture is inspired by God and it's useful for us. But useful means that we have to use it.
That's right.
We have to use the scripture. The only way we use the scripture is when we read the scripture and then we begin to apply the scripture. We begin to do the scripture. And that's what James talks about in James chapter 1. And he says this. He says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must also do what it says. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. Mm. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and then forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it.
Absolutely. So the word of God is a mirror, but it doesn't matter if you don't act on what you're saying. You know, you can look at yourself in the mirror, but you can just go away and forget about it or not decide to do anything about it. You know, I have 4 children, 1 on the way.
Come on.
And I'm very excited about that. July 2021 is going to be quite interesting. But I have all of these children, and there have been times where I have been in the middle of putting my makeup on, looking right in that mirror, being fully aware of how much was done, and I've gotten distracted.
Yeah.
And I've walked away, and then I've gone out the door and arrived at my location and realized we weren't done. We were not done yet. It's happened. And that's not a great feeling.
Yeah.
It's quite a funny thing, but it's not a great feeling. We don't want to be people who look in the mirror and leave things half done. We want to look in the mirror, allow the word of God to show us things within us, and then we want to do things to begin to move forward in those areas where we know that we need to change. But it's not just about doing things for ourselves. Really, so much of the word of God isn't about what you do and don't do. It's about serving others.
Yeah.
And it's about caring for others. It's
That's
a
right.
work of faith. I love that. It's not just good works.
That's right.
But it's really works that come, good works that come from faith.
You know, I think it's like the journey of faith, right?
Right.
It's God doing something in us so that he can do something through us.
That's right.
And it's to the level that we let God do it in us that he'll be able to do it through us. And that's why when you go back to what we read just a moment ago in Timothy, and this is where the Apostle Paul is writing to his spiritual son, Timothy, and he says, God wants to use his word to prepare and equip you.
Wow.
Well, the preparation happens on the inside. The preparation is when you let the word of God do what it needs to do on the inside of you.
Right.
And then as he does that, he's going to equip you to do every good work. And that's why we love to say it's a journey of faith.
It is a journey.
We walk this thing out, God working in us and God working through us. And we have to put this belief into action.
That's right.
You know, it's not enough just to believe God exists.
No.
It's not enough just to believe that Jesus died for my sins. It's not enough just to believe that he is the sacrifice for me to get to heaven. No, we don't want to stop there. We want to take the next step. We don't want to just be hearers of that and believers in that.
Right.
We want to be action takers.
Yes.
We want to be doers. And, you know, I have had this working definition for faith that I've used for years. I don't even know when I came up with it, but it's just kind of always stuck with me. And that is that faith is a deep belief. It leads to an action. It results in obedience, and it must be constantly cultivated in our lives. Sometimes people think that faith is just a deep belief.
Mm-mm.
It's just believing that the word of God is true.
No.
Just believing that Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. No, it's more than that, right? It's going to lead to an action.
That's
it's going to lead to me putting my trust in him every day.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to lead to an action of me praying. It's going to lead to an action of me worshiping, of presenting my body as a living sacrifice to him, which is my worship every day. It's going to result in obedience because when I live surrendered to him, I'm going to walk in obedience in my life. And that is part of the journey of faith. And then it must be constantly cultivated.
Mm-hmm.
The journey never stops.
It never stops.
The journey of faith never stops until our journey ends on this earth. The journey of faith never stops because we are always letting God do more in us so that he can do more through us.
So good. I love that because when we talk about, you know, faith, sometimes that can be such an esoteric thing.
Yeah.
It can just be something that, you know, oh, they've got a lot of faith. Well, what does that mean? It really, the Apostle Paul talked about it. He said, if you say that you have faith and I have works, I will show you my faith by my works.
Yeah.
How are you going to show me your faith without works?
Right.
So we can live on the works of faith. One of the things that people often do, Philip, is they want to get fully prepared before they do anything.
Right.
You know, there's different ways that little kids will play. And some little kids, when they play dolls, they will get everything ready. And by the time they have everything ready to play dolls, it's time to put the dolls up.
That's right.
And then there are other kids that just jump in and they just play. They just go for it. And I think the works of faith really, living on the works of faith really looks more like that second kid.
Yeah.
It looks like learning one thing and immediately putting it into practice.
Yeah, so good.
Learning one thing and immediately putting it in practice, just like you. You know, you made a commitment to Jesus and you were told you should read your Bible.
Absolutely.
So you took that one thing and you immediately put it into practice.
And I didn't even know all that I was reading, right? Like I was reading, I didn't even know what stuff meant. Like I was so grateful when I finally got a study Bible so I could like read the study notes and figure out what I was even reading in some places because it didn't make sense. I didn't understand, but I was reading it because somebody said, this is what you need to do if you want to get there.
But I love that. And, you know, in Acts, it talks about how the believers were devoted to four different things.
That's right.
And how they were devoted to the apostles' teaching.
Yeah.
They were devoted to
prayer.
They were devoted to communion. Yep. And they were devoted to fellowship.
Yeah, that's right.
And I think back to those early days, really, of your conversion.
Yeah.
And how you just kind of went, oh, that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to read my Bible and pray. Okay, what's better when there's two or three other people? Hey, you guys, y'all are going to come pray with me. I don't even know what I'm doing.
We didn't know what
I don't even
doing.
Know how.
No.
But I think you're supposed to like go in a room. And so y'all would go in a room and you would just pray.
We just prayed.
And you just learned one thing and you tried to put it into practice.
That's
well,
so true.
I think that you're supposed to share this gospel. So you started sharing it in Bible studies.
That's right,
And sometimes you didn't know what you were talking about.
That's
but that
right.
was okay because you just took that one thing and you
That's
put it
right.
into practice. And that seems so logical when we talk about it like this.
Mm.
But I think that the enemy has a trick where he says that if you learn it and you immediately put it into practice, it's not sincere because it's just motivated by knowledge and it's not motivated by emotion.
Wow.
And I think we see this so often in marriages because I used to feel this way about you.
Come on.
Because you are the kind of person, the kind of Christian, the kind of human being that you learn something and you put it into practice.
That's
just like what I just talked about in your early Christian walk.
Yeah.
You learn something and you put it into practice. And so I can remember having conversations with you early in our marriage and maybe last week, I don't know. And I would say, you know, something like, hey, I, you know, would you help me out with this more often? Mm-hmm. And you would immediately 2 hours later help me out with that. And I'd go, no, not right now.
Yeah.
Well, when?
Yeah.
Well, like, I want you to spontaneously feel like saying, I love you more. I don't want you to do it because I said, I want it to be just this spontaneous emotion. I want it to be sincere.
Right.
And that's just really a foolish way to live.
Wow.
Because the way of the Word of God is to learn something and to put it into practice.
Yeah.
So if you learn a better way to love your spouse, immediately put it into practice.
Yeah.
If you learn a better way to live, immediately put it into practice. You don't have to wait a week from now and then go, oh, I remember that thing and I am now moved to be able to act. You know, I find it so funny.
Yeah.
Even with just doing good works, you know, we all know that we need to serve.
Mm-hmm.
We need to serve our local church community in some way.
Yeah.
We need to serve our local community in some way.
Yeah.
But I'll hear people say, yeah, I know I need to serve, I'm just not sure where.
Yeah.
And they'll stay there for a year.
Yeah, that's right.
Rather than just going, I need to serve, don't know where, let's just start.
Yeah.
It's not like a life sentence. You know, if you start on the production team and you hate it, they will let you leave.
That's right.
It's amazing. Yeah. You don't have to switch churches in order to switch teams.
Yeah, that's right.
You can do that, you know, even with community.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know which small group to get in.
Mm.
And we allow, I just am not sure. That indecision to keep us from doing the good that we know to do. I can remember when we first moved into our neighborhood, I wanted to meet our neighbors and bring something nice to them.
Yeah.
And for 3 years, I thought about what that would be. And I was like, I am going to bake cookies and I'm going to put them in these cute little bags. And we're going to have little cards that say our name and have our phone number and say, if you ever need us. And it just never happened. And then one day I decided that I was tired of living in disobedience to a good that I knew to do.
Yeah, there you go.
And so I just grabbed some old pickle jars and put a bunch of candy in it. And the kids and I walked around the neighborhood and we gave out candy.
Mm.
And it wasn't perfect.
Yeah.
And it wasn't Pinterest worthy. But I started somewhere.
Yes.
And what I would encourage you to do when you talk about living on works of faith is don't get stuck on the preparation. And don't get stuck on it being perfect.
Yeah.
Live out the work of faith today.
Yeah, so good.
Do the good that you know to do.
Yeah, you know, and I think when we're talking about works of faith, I think one of the things you have to do is you have to work through failure.
Oh, that's
good. Because you can't be afraid to just try it, right?
That's right.
You're going to mess it up, as you alluded to. I mean, I started preaching the very best messages that I could, but I didn't know everything that I needed to know, right?
No.
But wow,
you didn't know who the disciples were. Let's just be real.
Okay, I thought Luke was a disciple. I mean, he's got one of the gospels,
and
I was like, he was a physician. He had to be in there. You know, they needed a doctor around. I don't know. I thought he was one of the.
But you didn't let that stop you.
No, and I preach, and you know, it's amazing. Like, people got saved. People today are in ministry in their lives who got born again. In those meetings happening on these college campuses, right? God did so many amazing things. And it was just because I was willing to work through the failure. Mm-hmm. I was willing to say the wrong thing. I was willing to pray the right. I was going to try. Man, I was not going to sit back and wait. I was going to have those works of faith because I was going to work through that failure.
Yes.
I knew I was going to, I was going to read something that I didn't understand and I didn't know, right? There was going to be those moments, but I was going to read it anyway.
Right.
I was going to preach, and it may not have been perfect, but man, I was going to preach because I knew one thing. I knew that God loved the world. I knew that He sent His one and only Son so that nobody would perish, but everybody could have eternal life. I knew that, and I was going to preach my very best so that I could connect people with the loving Father in heaven.
I was going
to do that, but I had to be willing to work through that failure. And so if we're going to have works of faith, we said it's a journey,
right?
You're going to stumble.
Absolutely.
You're going to trip.
Yes.
You're going to fall. You're going to skin your knee up. You're going to scuff up your elbow, which is why we go back to the first part of We Live On.
That's
and
right.
Why this is the number one house habit you got to have in your life, because you are going to fall on the journey
That's
of faith.
So good, Philip.
You are going to, man, you're going to commit to read the Bible. You're going to do great for 2 weeks. And then the third week, you're just not going to read anything. Oh God, I can't believe. But we live on. We do not quit, and we do not give up, and we are not going to bow down to failure or bad days. We will get up, and we will fight again, and we will pray again, and we will try again, and we will read again, and we will love again, and we will forgive again, and we will do it all again. Why? Because we live on.
I love that. We live on. What a way to wrap it up. We live on.
I just can't. It's why it's number one.
It's number one.
You just have to live on. You just have to live on. And you have to determine that. And you really do, because as you decide, you know what? I'm going to live on the Word
That's
of God.
Right.
And I'm going to live on works of faith. Man, you're going to make a lot of mistakes.
A lot.
Man, you're going to do a lot of the wrong things. Mm-hmm. But when you have already decided that the wrong I do is not going to keep me from the right in my future.
No.
The mistakes that I make today are not going to keep me from the best that God has for me tomorrow. When you decide, I will live on. And why am I living on? I'm living on in eternity, and I'm living on in my legacy. And so I have got to live on the Word of God. And I have got to live on these works of faith, because I am going to leave a legacy for my children. I'm going to leave a legacy for this earth. I'm going to leave a legacy from those who are closest to me. I will leave a legacy on this earth. And so I need to make sure that I am living on the right things daily so that I can leave the right things in the future.
I love that. And when we talk about how to put this into practice, this year we're using an acrostic.
Yeah.
It's LEAD, because we want to lead ourselves and others better this year.
Yeah.
And the L stands for learn.
Yeah.
And so this week, what we want you to take away, your big idea, the learn moment, is that it takes learning and doing.
Mm.
It takes learning and doing. You know, if you, I loved what you said about you're going to make mistakes, but if all you're ever doing is learning, you never make the mistakes that give you the humility that help temper what you're learning.
Wow.
Because you can just be learning and learning and learning. And you just know it all. And you know how to pick all the specks out of everybody's eye, but you have not done the work that leads to humility that gives perspective on what you are actually learning. That's why, you know, whenever I'm going to take advice from somebody, I want to know whether they've done it or whether they've just studied it. I want to know whether they have put themselves out there and have made their own risks and their own mistakes, or whether they're just a critic who's standing on the sideline, because I want to hear from the people in the field.
Mm.
I want to hear from those people who understand and who have learned
that
it takes both. Doesn't just take doing.
That's right.
But it takes learning.
It takes both.
And doing together.
And then when we get to the E in LEAD, it's for evaluating. Mm. And we need to be evaluating things in our life. And so today, our takeaway in this area is, what's one thing that you have learned that you are not yet putting into practice? What's one thing that you have learned, one thing that you have heard, one thing that you have read, one thing that you know that you are not putting into practice, which leads us to our A, and that's apply. And that is simply do that one thing, right? So the evaluation, which is the way it's supposed to work, right? I'm learning, I'm evaluating, and that takes me to my applying. So the one thing that I haven't put into practice, just put it into practice.
Right.
Just start doing it right now, and it's not going to be perfect, and it's not going to be everything that you want to be, but just start where you are with what you have. And the main thing is start now.
Yes.
Do that one thing now. And then that D is just do it again.
And just do
and
it
that's again. Where we live. We live in that. Just do it again and again. Keep learning, keep evaluating, keep applying, do it again and again. And you will lead yourself and you will lead others well.
And I want to encourage you, you know, whatever popped into your mind when we said, what's the one thing that you've learned that you haven't put into practice? It's easy to talk yourself out of something and say, oh, that's not spiritual enough. Oh, that's not what Philip and Dusty were talking about.
That's right.
Oh, I need something that's a little bit more. No, it probably was that thing.
Yeah, that's right.
It probably was that discipline.
Yep.
It was probably that walk that you know you should take in the evenings
yep.
or in the mornings, or it was probably that one habit that you've not been doing, but you
yep.
know that it's a keystone and it's really important for your life. Maybe it was that one risky thing.
Mm.
You learned about how Christians and Christ followers pray for their children before they go to bed.
Mm.
And that's a cultural thing that we do, but it's also scriptural, because the Bible says that before your child goes to bed, teach them the words of God.
Yeah.
And you've been frightened because you've thought to yourself, I don't know enough to be able to do that. Stop.
Yeah.
Well, what you've learned, just put it into practice.
Yeah.
Just try. Just tonight, kneel down. You will be amazed at how meaningful that will be as you learn how to pray alongside your child, whatever it is, whether it's a health habit, whether it's being vulnerable and saying, I love you to your spouse or I love you to your kids, whatever it is, whatever popped into your mind as we talked about that, I want to encourage you, write it down.
Yeah.
And do it this week. Don't wait till you feel like it's sincere. Just do it because you've learned it and it's the good that you know to do. Well, maybe as you were sitting here with us, you wondered, man, this Jesus sounds amazing. And Christianity done that way, I think I would love to go on that journey. Wow. Well, this journey is open to you.
Yes.
And there's a community that cares about you and that wants to walk alongside you. And it's not restricted just to North Point Community Church. It's a global community of churches and people who will gather around you. And so today I want to invite you, if you have not made Jesus Lord of your life, if you haven't accepted him and started walking down that journey, today can be your day. So right now, if that's you, I just want to invite you in this moment just to close your eyes and to pray this prayer along with Philip.
Father, we thank you for your goodness and your grace. We need your forgiveness. We need your power. We need your strength. We declare that you are Savior and you are Lord. Jesus, thank you for your sacrifice on the cross. God, thank you for loving me. I believe that I am your son. And I am your daughter because of your grace. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, 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 and amen. And you know what? If you're saying, man, Philip, I just need to build my life, man. I need to build my life. I'm not building my life daily on the right things. I'm not gonna have that life that lives on the way that I want it to. Then just start right now building your life on the Word of God and building your life on those works of faith so that you can truly live a life that will live on. Well, next week, we're going to be about We Love Big.
We Love Big.
On Valentine's.
That's right.
It's like we almost planned that.
Yeah.
We Love Big. And so,
would have been nice if we had.
Hey, I hope you come back next week. Join us on this journey as we go through our house habits, because I believe if you can put these habits in your life, it will improve your life. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.